Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga, Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Sports, I don't care about bragging rights. It just introduces more volatility into the equation. I don't care about victory laps.
Stop it, please stop it. Throw the football into the floor.
The BetQL Network presents your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, Ken Barkley.
If I have an opinion, I'm just going to go put money on that thing happening.
And your host, Nick Kostos.
Every single play of every single game impacts you in some way, shape, or form.
It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
It is a terrific Tuesday. It is You Better You Bet. It is Nick Kostos. It is Ken Barkley. And it's you here with us on the BetQL Network, simulcast for the next 2 hours by our friends at Stadium. And it's going to be a badass 2 hours of wagertainment coming your way. We will get to the playoff picture in the American Football Conference in the NFL. Ken and I have picked our four division winners in the AFC, the three wildcard teams in pencil, you know, not pen, you know, because it's April. And we will play out the AFC postseason later here in these 2 hours to determine the team that we think right now will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Very much look forward to that. We will have a great conversation next hour with Evan Silva from Establish the Run, one of our absolute favorites, NFL draft betting recap, and spinning things forward from the fantasy perspective with the great Evan Silva from Establish the Run. All of our bets for tonight in the Power Hour, final hour of the show. And if you missed hour one of today's You Better You Bet, you missed a great interview with Field Yates from ESPN talking all things National Football League, including the team that Field thinks will win the AFC if it's not the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you missed that and you want to check it out, also Ken and I breaking down the epic game last night with the Nuggets and the Lakers, just search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. But joining us right now to kick off the fun and frivolity in our Stadium 2 hour block on this Tuesday, the great Matt Moore from the Action Network, the Buckets Podcast, and NBA Bet Stream on Twitter at HP Basketball. If you like the NBA, if you bet the NBA, you need to be following Matt Moore. Or be a clown and don't. The choice is yours. Matt, welcome back to the show. It's Nick and Ken. How's it going?
Good, man. Was that incredible game last night between Lakers and Nuggets? Late night, wrote a bunch of columns. Fascinating being in LeBron's press conference. NBA playoffs have been incredible so far. Sunday's games were one of the best days I think I can remember. Excited for these to continue. The second round shaping up to be awesome. Lots of stuff to be excited about.
Yeah, just really, really fun to go from the Sunday early doubleheader to like last night and what happened with Jamal Murray in the game-winning shot. You were there and you said you were at LeBron's post-game press conference. Well, let me ask you this. We usually do more hardcore betting stuff, like series prices and futures markets and stuff like that, but Nick and I even spent some time, Matt, to start the show. All right, like, where is LeBron next year? Where is Bronny next year? And maybe that's the same answer for both of those things. And who is the Lakers coach next year, if that factors into this at all, too? So some kind of swirling variables going on here. What's your best guess for where all those people are?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the Lakers are going to be a small minus number, but not a big minus number. I think the reality is that when he puts that final comment out where he's asked, you know, can you see yourself? Where do you see yourself in terms of your Lakers? Is this your last game as a Laker? He's, I'm not going to answer that. Drops the mic, walks out. Peak LeBron. Just peak LeBron. And he made it clear during that entire press conference that, like, he's not going to retire. He didn't say it. He said, well, I got to talk to my family. But unless he's like, yeah, I think, you know, that's probably coming. Also, there's no way he does that without a retirement tour. But with the Lakers stuff, this is all like a leverage thing. For the first time since he became a Laker, he did this all the time with the Cavaliers. For the first time since he became a Laker, he's put kind of the hanging blade over them and said, you're going to do what I want or I'm gone. You're going to give me the money I want. You're going to give me the roster that I want. You're going to give me the coach that I want. And you're going to draft my son. And if I don't get those things, I'm out. So figure it out. Choice is yours. Like, that's what he did with this entire process. He's got a player option for next season. He's going to get what he wants. And the Lakers are going to have to decide whether they want to give all of that to him and cede complete control for what is really honestly just like a 2-year plan, or if they're going to continue, which is, this has been a power battle of, no, we're the Lakers. We are in control. This is our franchise. That dynamic is going to be fascinating to watch. Again, Lakers a minus number, but I definitely do not think it needs to be above minus 150.
Matt, only like 30 seconds for this. We can get on to, like, you know, betting stuff in the NBA playoffs. Yeah. What is the percent chance that a non-Lakers team in a brutal NBA, what everyone says is a terrible NBA draft, drafts Bronny James with the intention of, like, maybe luring LeBron to, like, is that an insane thought that something like that could actually happen?
So you're just thinking about it wrong here. It's, you have to do the deal before you reach out to LeBron, or honestly, LeBron reaches out to you and goes, hey, if you draft Bronny, he'll come. That's the way that this works. This will all be prearranged. You're not going to, like, draft a kid to effectively hold him hostage. That's gross, especially
why
for
not?
NBA.
Why not? I'm being dead serious right now. Why not?
Yeah.
Because it won't work. He'll be like, well, you know, it's Bronny's career. Like, he's not going to let that happen. And you will piss off, like, everyone in the industry. Everyone in the industry. So, yeah, no. That's not going to happen. But what,
come on,
you
Charlotte.
Can do is you can't get those arranged beforehand.
Which is the funniest team, Matt? What's the funniest team that would do this?
Detroit.
The Oklahoma City Thunder. That to me is the funniest
one. The Thunder.
Hey, you want to finish your career in OKC? How about that?
Yeah.
That's the funniest.
Siberia. That sounds great. Yeah, had to ask you, especially when you said you were at LeBron's press conference, had to ask you about that. So, Matt, we haven't talked at all about Denver, Minnesota in the second round. That's like our next topic, basically, because we spent so much time talking about Lakers, Denver, and kind of doing some other NFL stuff in the first hour of the show. So, look, like, consensus price, and, you know, opened in a bunch of different places, different numbers, kind of settled in, like, Nuggets more than minus 200, like minus 210, minus 220. Timberwolves about a plus 180, plus 190 dog, depending on where you go. You see that price, those two teams, game one will be on Saturday. So long layoff for both teams, time to get healthy. You see that price. Does that make you want to bet on anything with Denver and Minnesota?
It's a series spread bet for me, this series. I don't want to get in on the actual winner here, because for me, it's just like, I just keep asking myself, do I think that the Wolves beat them? And I'm like, no, I don't think they beat them. I think they can. I think they're going to have a heck of a shot here, but I don't think they're going to beat the Nuggets. But my confidence in the Nuggets' certainty to win is not the same as what I think the series is going to look like. And you're able to get, now you can go the other way and just bet the you know, outlier outcomes here. Like, you're getting Wolves minus 1.5 on series spread at plus 275 at BetMGM. Like, that's a great look. Wolves plus 1.5 is probably where I'm going to end up at minus 125. Yes, I'm laying a little bit of juice basically for this to go 7, and that does factor in all of the Wolves outcomes. So why don't you just bet Wolves? Again, because I'm just really concerned about the Wolves getting a game 7 win in altitude versus Denver. But the Wolves are extremely live here, and they are going to be a game 1 bet for me. This matchup is very, very good for them. Denver had nothing but the highest of praise for Minnesota last year. Denver gave them the gentleman sweep in the first round, and still the Nuggets were like, yeah, that was our toughest series. Tougher than Phoenix that went 6, tougher than the Lakers, tougher than the finals. It was Wolves. That too big lineup causes them problems. Rudy Gobert does defend Jokic well, even though he gets buckets on him. Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Jaden McDaniels set up shop and have their mail delivered to Jamal Murray's shirt. It is an excellent matchup to disrupt Murray, who's already got a calf injury. They can kill the bench unit lineups for Denver with Naz Reid running the floor. They've got guards in order to get downhill on Jokic. They don't have an answer for Anthony Edwards. They've tried KCP, Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, and Aaron Gordon. Nobody has the right combination of size and speed to hang with Ant. He really tears up Denver. This is a great matchup for Minnesota, but we just saw them clutch out two of these wins versus the Lakers, go down by double digits 4 times and come back and win. Like, they're just so good at finding ways to win, and Jokic is always going to give you an imposition to win these games. I think Minnesota is going to be live in every single game. I think they are extremely live to win game 1. I think the series goes long. I think Denver trails at some point this series. So I think you wait and you bet Denver once they go down as a dog. But man, this is going to be a heck of a series, and Minnesota is going to give them absolutely every ounce that they can put up with.
When the series is over, regardless of who wins, when we look back at the series, the best player in the series, Matt, will be who?
Nikola Jokic. It's always Nikola Jokic. And you have to have confidence that he's going to do that. He played one of his worst playoff games I've ever seen him play last night. It was up there with Utah in 2020 in the bubble in game three. He was checked out. He wasn't aggressive. It was a passive, weird game for him. He looked exhausted and bored. Not a great look from Nikola Jokic, but he gets 4 days off before this matchup. He always gets up for playing Gobert because of their international experience. He's going to be able to find ways to make plays in this series. And in reality, what it's going to be is you're going to look back, and it may not be that his numbers are all that awesome, but you're going to go what he was facing and how good the Wolves were, and he still solved it because Jokic is so good at solving problems. He's the best problem solver in the league, which is why they should be the favorite to win the NBA title. It's going to be Jokic, but boy, I think he ain't going to have some games.
It's going to be awesome. You better you bet with Nick and Ken talking the NBA with Matt Moore from the Action Network. Matt on Twitter at HP Basketball. Matt, just a quick answer to this one so we can move on to other topics. We don't know if Timberwolves head coach Chris Finch is going to be able to coach early in the series, like a torn patellar, sir. Like, insane story there. So if Chris Finch can't be on the bench coaching game one, game two, maybe on the road in Denver, like, does that matter? And if so, like, how does it matter here in like 30 seconds or less so we can move on?
I think it matters just from the perspective of Finch's game sense is really good. So he's got a good idea of finding small things. But look, he's got a really good staff. He's got Mike Anora. He's got an experienced staff that knows what they're doing, and they'll know the game plan. Finch will communicate with them in game. This is not 1960. Like, he can send in notes and be like, make sure to get this guy off the floor. You can do all those things. So I think it's absolutely okay. They'll be all right. It's definitely like a small impact, but I don't think it should move the spread by even a half point.
Yeah, I mean, just like even the off-court dynamics, like you have Finch, will he coach or not, like with a serious injury that required surgery. And then, Matt, I think it was even you that tweeted, I saw a couple other people tweet, all the connections between the two franchises, like the GMs and the presidents of basketball operations and the assistant coaches, all of them come from like the other team. Like, they all know each other, really. It's almost like Minnesota's been built to stop Denver. Like, that's why this happened. Probably one of the reasons why they praised him so much after the series is over. The rest of the West bracket, Matt, like Thunder, Pelicans, whatever, thanks, Galveston, Texas, whatever. And the Thunder move on to the second round. And I think, you know, a lot of people are going to look at this and be like, the Thunder get a week off. Like, the team they play in the second round is going to be through a war here between the Mavs and Clippers. Who do you think makes it out of Mavs, Clippers? And is it really, like, as dire as it seems, the rest advantage that the Thunder will have in the second round in terms of, like, are they so likely to advance to the conference finals?
If Kawhi doesn't come back, I think the Clippers get out, which is a weird sequence, but I absolutely think that that's sure. The case here. It's not just because they're 2-0. The Clippers ran 28 pick and rolls in game one. They ran 34 combined in games two and three when Kawhi came back. And then they shot back up to 29 in game four. It's this simple. You put the Mavericks in rotation, that defense falls apart. You let them dictate terms in isolation, they're much better. Luka's going to shoot better. I think the series is going seven. And that's a big part of this. I think Thunder are very, very, very live to make the conference finals and maybe even slip past whoever comes out of Wolves Nuggets, because I think that one's going 7-2. Teams that come off a seven-game series have historically done terribly. Like, their outcomes in the subsequent round are awful. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but it is sub-45%. They do not win those series very often. Now, some of that's because you're not as good, so you went seven games, and so you know, those are coin flips, and sometimes the worst team advances. So that's all part of this context. But I think OKC really is in position. Like, OKC's proven, no, like, they're not just like a regular season team. Like, they're still doing the stuff they did in the regular season. They're still shooting the lights out. They're still running the ball. Shea's still amazing. They got past that Pelicans game. After that game one where it got shaky, they settled down and they look much more comfortable with playoff basketball. It's the Pelicans without Zion. I get it. It's not the Clippers. It's not the Mavericks. I like the way they match up with both of those things. I legitimately think the Thunder are live to make the finals. I don't know that they're going to be able to pull that off, especially if it's Denver. But, man, I think they're going to push very hard in the conference finals. I'm going to like them in the next round, I've decided.
Bets for tonight in a second. But, Matt, if the Boston Celtics are without Kristaps Porzingis in the next round against either Cleveland or Orlando, does it matter at all for the Celtics to get to the Eastern Conference Final? 30 seconds here, so we save time for bets for tonight.
No, I think it's like five games, maybe. Like maybe the Magic get hot, maybe the Cavs get hot in game three or four. But this is gonna be quick. Like their record without Porzingis was great this year. Neither of those teams run zone. Like that's the thing is like I think Miami's gonna give them problems in the next game because they're just gonna zone them up because they don't have Porzingis to flash middle. So neither of those teams, Cavs or Magic, can effectively zone them. So look, Magic are a tough, scrappy team, but they just don't have the firepower. Cavs just continue to wet the bed. It's going to be five games. Celtics are making the conference finals, and they'll get Porzingis back.
Matt, bizarre kind of scheduling quirk. Three games tonight, all of them Eastern Conference series. It's like a little bizarre to see how this sets up. Sixers-Knicks, Magic-Cavs, Pacers-Bucks in like 45 seconds here. Any bets that you like in any of those three games?
Yeah, I got bets in all three. I'm taking the under 203.5 and Sixers-Knicks. Typically in these kind of closeout games, it gets really tight because the one team's desperate. So I'll take the under there. I'll take the over in Cavs-Magic based off of the fact that I think the Magic have figured out some offensive stuff. Cavs shoot better at home. And I'm on the Bucks here on the money line. It's just simply a trend play. Teams that shoot 50% in the next game on the road in the playoffs are 0-9 in game fives. That's what the Pacers did. They shot the lights out. Some regression happens. Bucks somehow figure out a way to get this win. Everyone dogs the Pacers for it. Pacers advance in the series, but I think the Bucks win tonight.
One word answer. Joel Embiid, dirty player. Yes or no?
Yes.
Should have said yes or yes. Would have been way funnier.
As well, I mean, yes. But is no even an acceptable answer at this point? Matt, we love having you. We covered a lot there with Matt. That was awesome. On Twitter, at HP Basketball, Action Network, the Buckets podcast, the daily NBA betting podcast, which is awesome, and NBA Betstream. Matt, I look forward to the Charlotte Hornets drafting Bronny James coming up in a little bit, and I look forward to your next appearance here on the show.
Thanks, guys.
Matt Moore joining us. Honestly, like, Denver should draft Bronny. You can't beat him, join him. Send the run to Denver. On the other side, we talked a lot with Matt about the Nuggets-Wolves second-round series. We haven't talked about it at all. We'll do that and more. Next.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night, ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
QL Network.
Ian Eagle with the call this past weekend. Anthony Edwards, the confession. I've never, sat and watched an entire Indiana Jones movie, so I don't know, which one it was. It's, the Temple of Doom, where, the bad guy pulls, a heart out of a guy's chest. It's, still...
Yeah. Kalima. So, right. That's what he says the whole time.
And what did Kevin Durant?
Right. Ishbia.
Bradley Beal. Anthony Edwards kind of ripped the Suns' heart out and then showed it to them in game four, closing them out, setting up just an insane second round series that we all can't wait for. Game one on Saturday at Mile High between the Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. We will start breaking down that Titanic second round series in a second. We'll get to the AFC playoff picture and our thoughts on how that playoff will play out. A little later in the mid portion of the show, Evan Silva will join us next hour. All our bets for tonight, power hour, final hour of the program. But, we did a full postmortem on the Lakers. We talked about the series with Denver and Los Angeles. What's going to happen with Bronny? What's going to happen with LeBron? Now let's talk about second round. Denver minus 225 to win the series, Ken, at our show sponsor, BetMGM. Minnesota plus 180. Game one on Saturday. Denver a 4.5-point favorite, and the total 209.5. Both of us have the Denver Nuggets to win the NBA championship. Would be a great outcome for both of us. I'm a little nervous heading into this series. What say you, my friend? Your betting thoughts, please. Denver, Minnesota, round two.
I think there's some danger in the series, but I'll be nervous when I think they're going to lose it. I think it's okay to have total confidence that the best team with the best player and the guy who improves the most in the playoffs just wins again. How do you think they're going to do it? It's such a bad matchup. I don't know. Phoenix was supposedly a terrible matchup for Minnesota. How'd that go? And I just, our perception of what matters when we evaluate this stuff, it's really fun to talk about sometimes. And then you get to the end of the series, and you just go, well, that didn't matter at all. Why the hell did we spend so much time talking about that? And I feel like Phoenix, Minnesota, it's so funny that like everyone, and this myself included, like we do a 4-hour show. We have to, just interesting storylines to talk about. Phoenix completely dominated Minnesota in the regular season. Anthony Edwards was terrible in the regular season. And then we played the playoff games and the exact opposite happened. And now Minnesota and Denver are going to play. And I feel like we're going to hear a lot of, well, in the regular season, Minnesota was a terrible matchup for Denver and they played them really well. We're just going to do it again. Like it's fine. Like they played in the playoffs. There's more context than that. Minnesota can win the series. Just like what a nice reminder that sometimes when we all think something matters, it doesn't matter a whole lot. And then sometimes something totally different happens. So I just look, I tether myself completely to history. And if I think Denver's the best, and I think they got the best player, and I think they got home court, and the other team doesn't have a guy ready like that, it's not Gobert. Like Gobert is not your title superstar here. It's Edwards, and he's not ready yet. And that doesn't mean he has to lose this series. I think it means he does not win the title, and maybe he gets to the finals, maybe, where they'd lose to the Celtics, I think. But I just, yeah, like I'll be worried when there's actually something to be worried about. And they have home, like the fact that they have home court in the series is a huge thing for me. Matt brings up he thinks the series can go seven, maybe, and if it did, I mean, again, like, all right, game seven, Minnesota at
Supreme
Denver.
confidence. Supreme
Would
confidence
you
in Denver.
ever bet Minnesota? Ever? Like, then kind of what the hell are we talking about until we get to that point? They're going to blow out Denver in the series? That seems realistic. I get like the winning the Lakers game last night, so big. Like Murray and Caldwell Pope getting this 5 days to just like totally get back to as close to normal as possible. I mean, you could argue they need the time off way more than Minnesota needed the time off. Minnesota probably ready to play again. They were in such a rhythm. They were playing so great. Why would they want to stop playing? And so I just, I think winning last night was big. And I just, I hear the arguments for why Minnesota is going to be really competitive. It's a little tough to swallow when they're the same arguments for why Phoenix was going to win. It's really tough when it's the same thing again. So look, the series could, I don't think it's going, like, doesn't have to be, could be awesome if Edwards keeps playing at this level and all this stuff. But again, the thing I said yesterday, all right, like, what do you think the Anthony Edwards stock price is trading right now versus like its 2-year high? It's like, this is the 2-year high. What do you think Minnesota's trading at versus like what they were trading at? Like, this is it. What do you think Denver's trading at versus what they were? Worse. How many people have already come on the show? How many people have talked about it this morning? Like, I'm a little more out on Denver than I was before. I'm a little more off them than I was before than a couple weeks ago. That's how everybody says it. That's how everybody's talked about this. So listen to all that. Okay. Everyone tells you Anthony Edwards is Michael Jordan Jr. Everyone tells you they're a little more out on Denver. And you look at this price. Tell me what you think the valuable bet is. Like, it's probably Denver. It's probably Denver. And it doesn't mean it can't go seven or they can't play better. The path to get there, who knows? Just like Phoenix, Minnesota. I'll be worried when there's something to be worried about. But I think it's a huge relief to get this time off and have Murray and KCP a little bit better going into game one. I think this sets up great for Denver to have this time off. And maybe the Minnesota gives them a great test, or maybe they don't. And I would expect Denver to advance a lot of the time.
The biggest concern I have for Denver in game one, and just got this tweeted to me by someone who listens to, I think Kimball Gathers listens to the show constantly, is just is Jokic going to be too focused on the Kentucky Derby on Saturday and not
Of
focused
course.
enough on the Nuggets and the Wolves, and maybe Minnesota's able to
What if
steal
he
game
hits the
one?
winner?
Well, I don't know. It goes back to Serbia, the parties with his
Right.
brothers, who
Well,
knows?
and I was gonna say, he'll be in such a good mood. Winging passes all over the place.
Jokic is such like a singular personality in like in sports period, someone who you truly get the sense like does not care about what anyone says about anything in regards to him or anybody else. So I do think it's fascinating to think about things from this perspective, right? And does he even care? Does he even think about these things? Does he consider them? I asked Matt that question about, when the series is over, even if the Nuggets win, when we come out of the series, like, is there a chance, basically, that's the point of the question, that we will exit the series saying the best player in this series was Anthony Edwards. Not that he's better than Jokic, but that the best player in the series was actually Anthony Edwards. And Matt goes, Jokic is going to be the best player in the series. I agree that it's going to be Jokic, and Ken agrees that it's going to be Jokic. But I think that if you asked a lot of people right now, to Ken's point on like the stock price, maybe people would say like it's Anthony Edwards' time now. And does This is the sort of thing that, like, LeBron would use, chip on his shoulder. Kevin Durant, chip on his shoulder. Troel Embiid, and he calls himself that, big-time chip on his shoulder, would be tweeting about it on social media. I'm not even saying this to insult these guys. I would feel that way if I were them. I wonder if, like, Jokic, like, hears any of this or cares about any of this, and you just get, like, the Nikola Jokic, hey, everybody, I know you're saying that this guy's Jordan. I'm actually the guy here. And he just absolutely smashes them. I don't even know if he needs that to do that. I just think that's such a fascinating subplot of this series, that Jokic coming into the series, Ken, is not the forgotten man, but I think a lot of the hype's going to be on Anthony Edwards, at least heading into game one on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree. Fascinated to see what Edwards looks like in the series, right? I couldn't have played a better first round series, passed every test. Bradley Beal's not like a slouch defensively, like it wasn't nobody, you know, and still to put up the numbers
just
that he put up.
Just seems that way.
$50 million slouch. And to trash talk Durant, hit all the big shots. And Edwards has this thing where, and I've heard a bunch of people talk about this and I just agree, where like, you know when you're like about to see a score, like a couple go in and you're like, wow, the next 10 minutes are about to be like really awesome. Like they're about to be really cool. He's going to make all these shots. It's what's gotten him to this point. I hesitate to always because I think I want to agree with Matt and be like, oh, like seven games, like going to go the distance. Series lengths are just always really tough, you know? Like it's just, it's, you know, if you had told someone, hey, like in hockey, the first series that's going to end is Rangers Capitals, we would all been like, yeah, dummy. It's the best team. It's the team that literally won the most against the worst playoff team of the last like 25 years. Be like, and in the NBA, the first playoff series that will end will be Minnesota Phoenix, not Boston Miami, and not any of these other series. Lengths are tough. Sometimes they're just really tough. And the ebbs and flows of how this goes and injuries and a play here and a play there, a team kind of like letting go of the rope sometimes at the end of a series if they're down a couple of games, like stuff just happens more often. So I used to be really into like over 5.5 games or to go 7 or something like that. I think Minnesota Phoenix, again, just a nice reminder of like, I'm good on lengths of series. Like, I don't know. I don't know how many games. I have no idea. But we do this a lot to go back to winner of the series. You know, just you brought up some names. It's funny because it's like, oh, like Durant and Embiid. It's like, well, like Jokic is kind of like better than both those guys already. Like he's at least better than Embiid already. He's probably not better than Durant yet. They win the title this year. That's the conversation.
Like
and
historically,
LeBron, we'll
we're
see
talking
him.
About obviously, right? Not like yeah. today, like over the balance of their careers.
Oh, I mean, he crushes all three of them right now. Like in terms of the talent, Embiid's probably the closest, which is the funny thing. Maybe LeBron. Just in terms
you.
Of like his historically
Embiid.
Great players,
I agree with that.
But historically great players, like, you know, how many times does this sounds first takey, but like whatever, like I don't do the X's and O's stuff, whatever, still goes okay. All right, like how many times Mahomes play in a playoff game where you try to invent reasons why the opposite side's really good? How many times like Jordan play in a final, be like, ah, oh, like Karl Malone and Stockton, like this time they got him. You know, it's how many times do we do this to stuff? Well, we do this all the time.
Clyde Drexler lost to the Pistons, and now he's ready.
I just how many times do we do this with
but
this
that's
stuff?
Like betting content in 1992, right? It's right. Like, oh my god, Blazers like thwarted by Detroit and now they're ready to win. Bulls resting on their laurels, beat Magic last year, or then the next year, well, now Charles is in Phoenix and his supporting cast is crazy. Give me the Suns.
Just like you know,
give me the Dolphins. Give me the Dolphins and Arrowhead on
finals.
Peacock.
Yeah, right.
Sub-zero temperature.
Lakers Heat Finals, Nuggets Heat Finals. You try to talk yourself into the crazy thing happening. This one isn't that crazy. Like it's there are crazier things that we've predicted before that people have tried to. Just like when all the chips are in, who you going with? Like, come on, you know, guys. Like he's on a trajectory to be like maybe like a top 5 player ever, depending on how long his career is. At least like a top 10 to 20 player. Like that's where he lives. That's where he lives, and he's got a home game against a guy who's like 22. Great, Edwards is really special. We're gonna pick the other guy? Like that's what we're gonna do? I don't know, man. It just feels like another one of these like let's invent, and it's not inventing because that means it's like made up, but let's like really hyper focus on the 50 ways that it won't be the best guy ever. Let's focus on all those. And it's like, well, no. And yeah, like all, you know, it's not that they can't, this isn't like some guarantee. I just, again, like who would I bet in the series? I don't know. Who would you bet when Mahomes plays in the Super Bowl? And who would you bet when the best player of all time? Who would you bet when like Tiger plays golf? Who would you, I mean, just come on, you know, like what are you gonna bet in these situations? Be like, well, price matters. Be like, yes, but to me that's just like, do I want to bet Denver at this price or another price or later or whatever? But the answer is still the same. So like, great, like let me know when the price changes then. Yeah.
50 Shades of Grey or 50 Ways the Nuggets Will Not Win?
I
And
don't know
which
how
is
much
more
crossover there
sado
is between those 50 shades either. Yeah, so.
and which is more sadomasochistic of the two?
Yeah, but I mean, I just, you know, how many, we just exited an NCAA
Well,
tournament. I know
let
you're
me
trying to
ask you
like turn
this.
this
Well, let
funny, but I want to do one
no, but
more.
let me,
You, I want to do
and then I
UConn.
got something playoff related also. Go
Yeah.
ahead.
Like, how many tournament games? This time the other team is going to show up with a lot of stuff. Nah, man, UConn. Like, sick content though. You know, like, I just, what? Come on, like with this stuff. Like, you know who wins the really good teams? They win all the time. And yeah, I just, it's, this is like, I guess this is a weird series to do this because like, I do think Minnesota's awesome, but like, you get the idea. Just like the historically good player in a bunch of these situations, I feel like because they've been around for a while or they've won before, in general, everybody tends to be hyper focused on like the ways this one will be different. And it, what you find is that so rarely is that the case. Yeah, Burrow beat Mahomes. Brady loses Super Bowls sometimes, loses big games sometimes, but in general, like, you want to be on that side or you want to be on the opposite side? And especially price dependent too. If we're going to get this into, you know, 60, 65% territory and they got home court, like I'm going to take the historically good player. Like that's who wins every year that we ever do this tournament. And I do think Boston's going to win this tournament sometimes, most notably if Denver loses. But if they don't lose, like, and they get to the, like that, they're the most likely winner. Like just a, you know, let's not overthink this thing.
So, I know it's really difficult to predict how long a series is going to go. With that being said, who wins the series and in how many games? Denver and what?
I mean, not four, probably. Anything else?
Like,
I
I
don't
could
know.
see five. Like, Minnesota gets one at home.
Anything. Yeah, anything. But also, like, Edwards can't have a playoff game where he shoots 7 for 26. It's not possible. Not possible anymore because he's Michael Jordan Jr. Can't be the case. Like, I just, one series, guys. Like, come on. Like, Edwards is awesome. Can't wait for the rest of his career, but like, let's not do this. Like, please. Like, I mean, you know, LeBron has bad playoff games, the best player of all time. You know, like Jordan has bad playoff games, the co-best player of all time. Like the best guys have bad games. Like, there's a couple of them cooking here, probably in the series. That would be my guess.
So you like the Nuggets?
Yeah, I think they're, I'm gonna like
Me
them in this
too.
all the series that they play. Like I just, you know,
Absolutely.
this is where we are. I know it gets tedious or tiresome or redundant, I guess is the right word. Just like, this is who I bet. I'm also not
Does
the person
winning get
who picks
tedious?
seven teams to win the title and then is like, look, I won. It's like, no, I got one here, and we're gonna see how this goes. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think winning's tedious. And I'll tell you what I really enjoyed. Betting UConn in every game down the stretch of the
Right, how the
NCAA
Panthers
tournament
doing? How is Michigan
was an
doing?
absolute blast.
Right.
Yes, it's all really good. And the Chiefs did win the Super Bowl. More on the NBA playoffs coming up next. Wrap up hour number two.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
I enjoyed the conversation in the last segment about the Denver Nuggets. It looked like Ken's right. Not
Was
that
that too
Denver
much?
definitely has to win.
Sound like
No, I
indignant
don't.
a little bit. Yeah.
But look, like, so a couple things. You've been right a lot recently, so I think like you've earned that right. And I don't
Right,
think anyone
so
can.
my head is completely full of hot air right now at this exact moment.
Okay,
I
like,
am due
okay,
to
so
get just
let's.
worked by something. Right.
Well, listen, like, let's say that's true, and like I don't
Yeah.
think it is because I know you and I know that's not the case. But let's say
Right.
that people think that, right? Also, like, if you listen to and watch the show and listen to Ken's advice, like. Ken's head may be full of hot air, and your wallet is full of cash. So, like, who
Right.
cares? Like, it doesn't
And there
matter.
are contingencies here. Like, I don't think it has to be Denver, but I'll put it this way. If it's Denver over somebody, Celtics over not Denver. If it's anything other than that, I will be 100% completely astonished, apologetic, I don't know anything. If it's not
You don't
one of
have to
those two things.
apologize. You don't have to apologize,
No,
but
but you know what I
yeah.
mean. Like, I will be in total shock if it is not one of those two things. Celtics over Denver is really just an opinion thing. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. So I guess That one's, I'd have to, I whatever, I'd have to like eat a bunch of crow on that, because Tatum would beat Jokic, and I have to say it in that way because it sounds ridiculous to say out loud. But like, okay, maybe Murray gets hurt going into that series or something, whatever. But like, Denver over somebody, most likely finals by far. That doesn't really give you a lot of clarity on the other side, but you get the idea. Celtics over a team that's not ready, Thunder too young, Edwards too young. That makes perfect sense as the second option. I don't know what the third option would even. Everything else would make absolutely no sense to me. So, you know, if you're me, though, this is what we did with the UConn and the other stuff. If you're me and you think that, then what would you bet in Denver, Minnesota, right? And what would you bet in Panthers, anyone, the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs? Like, what would you do there? And if you're wrong, you're wrong. Like, I'm, you know, like, I will lose bets. I will be wrong about teams. This kind of stuff, though, like, let's be honest, it's been going really well. Things have worked out in pretty much exactly the way that we have said. And, you know, if they haven't, it's like a small wrinkle here or a small wrinkle here. The winners have been, like, figuring out who is going to win a title or a tournament is not an exact science. But I do think that there are a number of indicators that can lead you toward either a very small number of teams or a singular team. Michigan, that would be a really good example of that. I think that's the Florida Panthers, but there's a couple teams on the periphery that are a little interesting. You know, and these things have worked. So again, like, you're me, like, what would you think? It's all random? Like, come on, you know? So I just, I'm going to like Denver against, like, everybody. And the extra rest, I think, is critical and even feeling even more confident in that.
And yeah, and like Jokic versus Gobert. I mean, you know.
It was a great matchup. I mean, Gobert, one of the best defensive centers of all time. So like it's not some pushover. And Matt brings up a good point. It'd be interesting to see who guards Edwards, tried a bunch of players on him, have not had a tremendous amount of success. That's very interesting. Can the role players for Minnesota show up the way that they did in the Phoenix series in such a big way? You know, McDaniels especially. Alexander Walker was awesome versus like what your expectation for him would be. Yeah, these are all reasons why Minnesota's great. It's just, again, like winning the series, still really tough for me to imagine. Winning games, great. Making it fun, great. Edwards is awesome, great. Just like winning the series, still a little tough for me to get to.
I think how it might go haywire on the Eastern Conference side, at least, right? Now, Matt answered this question in a really interesting way when we had him on earlier in the hour, because we don't have the MRI results back on Kristaps Porzingis yet. We know that it's not an Achilles injury, so he's not gonna like done for the year, not gonna like miss a lot of next year. At least we don't think so, right? So Matt basically made it sound Porzingis will miss the next round for Boston, and maybe they will choose to kind of like, even if he's ready, precautionary, hold him out.
Yeah.
Like they won't need him likely against Cleveland. People watch like the Cavs and Magic play. Like, no, actually, I do mean this disrespectfully to them. The Celtics don't need Porzingis to beat one of those two teams. And Matt made it sound, I think he flat out said, yeah, and then they'll have him back for the Eastern Conference. No, that's the case. Matt is obviously really plugged in, so maybe that's just his guess, is that they'll have Porzingis for game one of the Eastern Conference final. But I mean,
then the Porzingis injury is huge, because I don't think they win the title if he is hurt. And, you know, you could say like, well, what if they play OKC and there's no Porzingis, be like, okay, like I think I'd still like Boston, but it'd be close.
What about
there's
the Knicks
ways
without
you can make it up.
What about the Knicks without Porzingis?
And yeah, I mean, here's Al Horford trying to prevent 900 offensive rebounds. I mean, just, you know, this is going to be pretty rough. There's Luke Kornet, right? Didn't Luke Kornet used to play for the Knicks?
I think he did have a cup of coffee with the Knicks, right. Jim's nephew.
The tennis racket, right? That was his thing.
That's exactly right.
And
a great
what,
like wrestling
what was the background behind that? Why did he have a tennis racket?
I think like the gimmick was because he was the man. By the way, he's like so involved in what happens now with like professional wrestling behind the scenes and his criticism of like AEW and WWE. He's really funny. But I think the gimmick was he was the manager of the Rock and Roll and the Midnight Express in the 80s.
Right.
And his character was like, they were heels and he was like the preppy heel. And I think that's why he had the tennis racket, because he was like country club bad guy.
But then, like, I think maybe when I was watching wrestling when I was a kid, he wasn't managing those teams anymore or something, but he would still have it, probably just because
he was
like
in WWF
branding.
At that point. Yeah, he was. I'm talking NWA in, like, the 80s when, like, he first debuted.
But that's just what I mean, where it's like, you know, 8-year-old me sees this and just like, why the hell does this guy have a tennis racket? Like,
great
I don't
question.
Understand what's going on.
It's a big, big Sampras
what,
guy.
What a great question. What a great question. Why do you have a tennis racket when you are a wrestling manager? Yeah, so anyway, just to get back to Kristaps Porzingis, yeah, the idea of, look, could they beat the Knicks in a conference finals if he doesn't play? Sure, they can win. I don't, percentage chance, I don't know. I think they'd still be more likely to win than the Knicks, but it'd be close probably. He's really impactful. And look, all year, I'm in NBA chats with people, so are you and other people. There's like a consensus among people who follow the Celtics, essentially that like as Porzingis goes, so go their chance to win the title. And that's in a number of like podcasts you listen to, whatever. And if that's the consensus opinion, and there's a chance that he's like injured and can aggravate the injury, and that we're always on a knife edge with his health, then so too are the Celtics' title chances on that same knife edge with his health in terms of actually winning the four rounds. So yeah, I mean, I look, I can tell something is important because when it ha the second that it happens, I'm watching live. The second that it happens, like. Not the people, like not friends, like friends from college or other people who just like sports, like people I know who also bet like I do, in 0.1 seconds, all the texts and the telegrams and the signal. It's like, what do we like? Do we need to do something? What is this? What do you think it is? Sharing updates with each other. Like that tells you how important it was, right? And I think you wouldn't think like, well, Jamal Murray and Kristaps Porzingis, this is the same thing. I think how I would look at all of them, even if you think Murray's more impactful, and you're right, is. These are two injuries that potentially derail those teams' chances of winning the title. Whether Murray is better than Porzingis or not, that's true for both teams, I think.
And I want to draw and like give a difference here and then draw an equivalence. Obviously, like the difference between, and I'll state the obvious here, between Porzingis and Murray. Murray hit the game. Murray like knocked the Lakers out of the playoffs last night. It was
Right.
like
Twice.
was absolutely awesome.
Right.
And did it twice over the balance of the series. And the way that we talk about Embiid correctly. It's like, they get to the playoffs, great. He steps out of the shower and like stubs his toe. He's out for a look. He's out for the rest of the postseason. Porzingis has to be graded on the same curve, right? So if you out there, if you love the Celtics to win the title, you've invested in the Celtics to win the title, and he comes back for game one of the Eastern Conference Final, how are you not concerned that he re-aggravates the injury like 2 minutes into that game? He's
This is Murray
hurt
last
all
night.
the time.
Yeah. I was worried about Murray watching you. I mean, we both have Denver. You're not watching every step last night, every plant on like a jumper, being like, please, just like,
You know what?
please don't.
Maybe this is stupid on my part. I never felt that way with Murray. And like maybe I should, but I
Oh.
didn't.
Yeah, God bless you that you didn't feel that way. And there are definitely a couple times where he tweaked it, and Malone would go over and talk to him and be like, are you okay? And like he's. Malone even said it before the game, like sometimes somebody needs to tell Murray, like, you're not gonna play tonight for your own good, because
And
he's
then
gonna
no
want
one
to play in
did.
every game that he plays.
And then they
Well, nobody
didn't.
did, and it turns out he was awesome. Within a minute of the game starting, he was so electric. It was like, oh,
He's
okay, good,
got
good
that
job
dog
playing
in
him.
him, man. He's
Yeah.
got that dog.
You got a little bit of that. So yeah, just this is like story of the NBA playoffs this year, whether you like it or not. Injuries to star players, and Porzingis isn't like Giannis, Embiid, Murray, like these caliber of players, but he's super impactful for the favorite to win the title. Yeah, I mean, just who can keep this thing together enough to go through the four rounds and not lose? I asked the Clippers about this, and not lose a really, really impactful player. Both the two title favorites now, Denver and Boston, like have those same concerns as everybody else.
I'm going to allow myself to dream if Porzingis is out of my Knicks, I guess losing to the Nuggets in the NBA Finals. Next hour on the show, a lot of National Football League. Evan Silva will join us, and we will play out how we see the AFC playoff picture going at this juncture in time.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.